Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Shiur Ramban and Parshas Naso. The Shiur this evening is sponsored by Charles and Grace Korn, in memory of Grace's father, Avraham ben Shaul, whose yard site is tonight. The Neshama should have an aliyah and should see much nachas ruach from the Torah mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim the entire family is involved in. I'm just going to try to mute people. Don't take offense. Okay. I want to kind of pick up where we left off last night. We were taking a look at the Ramban in the beginning of Perek Hey, Pasuk Vav, where the Ramban talks about some of the various topics which are spoken about in Parashas Naso, particularly ones that on the surface one would have thought belonged more readily in Sefer Vayikra. What are they doing in Sefer Bamidbar? So he spoke about the fact that the Torah reiterates the parsha of Asham Gezelos, the special carbon, Asham, the guilt carbon, the guilt sacrifice that one brings after having forcibly stolen something and then lied about the fact that one did so. He says that the reason the Torah reiterates that over here, even though you think it's an issue of carbonos that belongs more in Sefer Vayikra, is because the Torah wants to teach the halach of Gezel Ager, namely that if the person one stole from was a convert who halachically doesn't have any family, and then that convert died, and the question is, how do you make restitution? The victim is no longer here. His family is not considered to be his family from a halachic point of view. So the stolen object and the restitution is given to the kohen. Okay, so that's important, says the Ramban, because the Sefer Bamidbar starts off talking about the yichus of Klal Yisrael and who's related to whom and how all the shvatim, all of the tribes are broken up. It's important to speak about the halacha of somebody who doesn't really fit into any of those tribes.
Charles Korn.
So then, I just want to mention, Charlie just joined. Just to reiterate, the shiur this evening is sponsored in memory of Grace's father, Avraham ben Shaul. So Neshama should have an aliyah. Then we spoke about, and again, I just want to pick up with this point over here tonight. The Ramban spoke about the halach of the sota, again the woman, the married woman, who was told by her husband not to isolate herself with a particular man, and then she went ahead and isolated herself with that man nonetheless. In other words, we don't know for a fact that she committed adultery, but she certainly acted in a way which would suggest that she's acting or she had acted improperly. So we know there's a whole ritual that she comes, okay, got Beis HaMikdash, drinks this water into which, a Megillah has been dipped, and the ink mixes in with the water, and again, the water does certain things, fine. So one of the things that the Torah says about the Sota is that there's a karban, a special mincha, a flower offering, which is brought, and the Torah itself describes how the one who brings the flower offering is actually the husband. Perek Hey Pasuk Tesva Vehevi Hoish Es Ishto El HaKohen. The man should bring his wife to the Kohen Vehevi, and he should bring, in the masculine, he should bring Es Karbana, her Karban Aleha, on account of her Asiris Ha'efa Kemach Se'orim. It should be a tenth of an Efa of barley flour. Lo Yitzoka Lov Shemen, he should not place oil upon it. Lo Yitena Lov Lavona, he should not put frankincense on it. And others, the normal ingredients which would accompany a karbon should not be over here. Ki Minchas Kena'osu, because it is a mincha, a flower offering of Kena'os, of jealousy, of zealotry. Minchas Zikaron Maskeves Ovon, a flower offering of remembrance which causes sin to be remembered. What does that whole line mean? So the Ramban, in addressing this, writes that lo niskara minchas hasotah mishor ha-menachos b'taras kohanim, that although the laws of menachos, of flower offerings, were already spelled out in the Torah, back in Parshas Sav, so here, the Mincha Sota is not discussed over there, it's left to over here. Why? Ba'avur, shehi minchas kena'os, ve'eina l'kapara. Because it is a, as the Torah itself says, a flower offering of zealotry, And it's not for the purpose of kapara. It's not for the purpose of atonement. So what does that mean? So the Ramban, a little bit later on, in the same perek, Pasuk Tesvav, elaborates. Again, we quoted a little bit of this last night, but I want to elaborate with the Ramban over here. He writes that Lo Yitzok Alav Shemen. So the Ramban over there quotes that Shloyehe Karbana Mechuda. Right, he starts off by quoting Rashi. Why is there no oil on the karba, on the mincha, on the flour offering? Because oil enhances the quality of the karban, and we don't want this karban to be enhanced. Shahashemen karoy or. So if you say, if you ask me, why is it that oil enhances the karban? So offhand, I would say, well, because oil enhances the flavor of everything. It adds flavor, it adds calories, okay, you know, but oil makes something taste good. So, you know, here you remove the oil, so you want to indicate that it's a non-tasty carbon. But the Ramban says, no, it's more than that. Hashem, again, quoting Rashi, Shashemen karoy or, right, because oil is called light. Oil, after all, produces light. Fihi asusa b'choshech. And whatever illicit act she performed, she did so under the cover of darkness. So in other words, the absence of oil is not just a taste issue, it's symbolic of the lack of light, the lack of transparency, which is associated with this karban. And then the Ramban continues quoting from Rashi, V'lo yitein alav levona, that there should be no frankincense upon it. So again, I would say, well, frankincense is a spice, it adds to the flavor of the karban. We don't want a flavorful carbon. We want a carbon which is very plain. But Rashi says, no, it's more than that. Shaha imaos kiruyos levona. We find that metaphorically, the imaos, the matriarchs of Klal Yisrael, are referred to as levona, as frankincense. Shenemar el givas halavona. Of course, the pasuk in Shir Hashirim that talks about the mountain of frankincense, and there homiletically it's understood that the reference is to the imahos. V'zo pirsho midarcheyen. This woman who's the sota clearly has deviated from the path of purity which was set out for us by the imahos, by the matriarchs. You know, again, it's important to stress, people don't always realize this, the sota is clearly not entirely innocent. You know, sometimes people have this imagery that, you know, a vengeful, spiteful husband can just, you know, wantonly accuse of his wife of adultery, and then she'll have to go through the whole story of the sota. That's not true. There has to be what's called raglayim ladover. Again, as we spoke about before, there has to be some basis for the accusation. He has to have told her, don't seclude yourself with such and such a man. And she has to go in the front of witnesses and seclude herself in front, you know, together with such and such a man. So, again, you know, the likelihood is that something is going on. Maybe they didn't you know, commit adultery yet in an out-and-out fashion. That's what the sota waters are meant to discover. But, you know, she's clearly not entirely innocent over here, and that's what Rashi says. She deviated from the pathways of the matriarchs. And, fine. The Aldas Kol HaMeforshim, the Ibn Ezra, however, says the Ramban, explains the phrase Kiminchas Kenosu in the following way. Lomar ba'avur shezosa mincha minchas onesh hi grua lios sa'arim b'lo shemen ulevona. The Ibn Ezra says the term minchas kenos means it is a karban which is brought as a punishment. The Ribbono Shel Olam seeks to impose something upon this woman who clearly has sinned. In other words, you know, she has to give up something. And since it's a punishment and not a vehicle for finding divine favor, it's a low-grade carbon. It's made out of barley flour, which, again, is a low-grade flour. It has no oil. It has no frankincense. And, you know, therefore, it's clear that it's simply an imposition as opposed to being something which, you know, which is going to gain her favor in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then we quote it, and the Ramban goes one step further. You know, the Ibn Ezra says this is a karban that isn't going to help her. It's just meant to punish her, to burden her with something else that she has to do. Says the Ramban himself, Ulafi Daiti, in my own opinion, Tam ki minchas kenos hu yachzor el rosh haposuk. The phrase minchas kenos hu, that it is a flower offering of zealotry, refers back to the beginning of the pasuk. That is to say, yomar shiovi ho ishas akarbon al ishto klomar bimekoma. The man is bringing this karbon, as it were, instead of his wife. What do you mean, instead of his wife? Well, he's offering up this karbon. In a sense, he's offering up his wife, as it were, in effigy. Offering up this karbon is actually a way of bringing down God's divine wrath, Rachmano Litzlan, in the event that this woman really has seriously sinned and committed adultery. So it's almost like, you know, again, the notion of burning somebody in effigy, you know, he's bringing the karbon, and the karbon is going to be sacrificed, and that's symbolic of how she herself is going to be sacrificed. It's a unusual notion. Usually the karbon takes the place of the sinner, in the sense that the karbon is consumed and the sinner is let off free. Right, the karbon is consumed instead of the sinner. Here, the karbon being consumed is the model of the sinner being consumed. And goes on the Ramban to say, "Ki minchas kenos hi lahazkir avona." The notion that it's a minchas kenos basically means it's a flower offering which invites the vengeance, as it were, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lahazkir avona. It's meant to remind Kaviyachol, the Ribbono Shel Olam, of her sin. It's meant to invoke God's punishment. It's not appropriate for her to bring the karbon, because for her to bring a karbon, which is possibly going to symbolize her demise, is, you know, a little uncomfortable. Rather, it's the husband who should bring this karbon to Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should enact vengeance upon this woman, and he should, you know, punish her for the terrible sin which she committed. So you have this unusual circumstance, this unusual type of karbon, which is not a karbon of kapara, it's a karbon in the sense of destruction, which is meant to evoke HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath down upon this woman. So, although the Ramban doesn't say this explicitly, it's clear, you know, why this mincha, therefore, would not be mentioned back with the menachos, the other menachos, the other flower offerings back in Parshas Tzav, because it really has nothing to do with them. It's a totally different nature of karbon, a karbon whose point is to punish as opposed to help redeem. And he goes on, the Ramban, and he explains many of the other details of the karbon in that particular fashion. V'tam ha-se'orim. Why is it that the Minchas Sota is made of barley flour? So again, you know, the Ibn Ezra had said, well, barley flour is a low-grade flour, and we want to emphasize that this is not a karbon which is meant to help her, it's just meant to burden her. The Gemara in Sota, Daf Yudalit, quoted by Rashi, gives another explanation. It says, he also saw Maisa Behema, Rashi quotes this, the woman acted in a animal-like fashion, the karbona maichel behema. Therefore, she should bring barley flour, because barley flour typically was fed to animals. So she should bring a karbon that's fit for animals. She acted like an animal. She should bring a karbon that's fit for an animal. But the Ramban gives a third explanation. He says, "What's se'orim? Shetiya saras chamas Hashem chema yotza." Sar mischoleil arosh harisha'a yachul. The word sa'orim is a play on words in Hebrew. It's very similar to the word sa'ara, which means a tempest or a whirlwind. Again, sa'ara, tempest or a whirlwind, is spelled with a samich. Sa'orim is spelled with a sin. But we very often find that the sin and the samich are interchangeable. You know, I guess if you're a person who's filled up with sin, just turn it in for a samach. So the term se'orim is representative, says the Ramban, of the tempest or the whirlwind of God's anger, which we want to come down upon this woman if indeed she sinned. right? Again, it's the Ramban continuing this idea that the nature of the carbon of sota is really to evoke God's wrath. And as such, even the sa'orim, even the barley, is a play on words about the idea of God's wrath punishing her in a tempest kind of fashion. And says the Ramban, "Uch'inyan slil sa'orim ha'amer begidon shepasru also l'sar umahuma rabba." It's reminiscent of the barley which is described in Sefer Shoftim regarding Gidon. What's that story? So we know that the Navi in Sefer Shoftim tells of how Gidon, one of the Shoftim, was fighting against the Midyanim, and Gidon had a very, very small army. The Midyanim had a huge army. So he was interested in spying out on the Midianite camp and figuring out what's going on over there. So some of the Jewish soldiers went and stood at the extremity of the camp, and they overheard two Midiani soldiers talking to one another. So one said to the other, "You know, I had the strangest dream last night." The other one says, what was the dream?" He said, I saw in my dream a tzlil sa'orim, I saw a cake of barley grain, which was rolling and rolling and rolling, and it rolled towards our entire camp, and it knocked the whole thing over. It decimated the camp, and, you know, then I woke up. So the Jewish soldier, goes back and reports this to Gidon. Gidon says, "Oh, this is a sign that the Ribbono Shel Olam has delivered the Midianim into our hands," and they go and they attack the Midianim, and of course they're successful. So why, you know, we get the idea that the Sa'orim destroyed the camp. We understand why that was symbolic of the victory of the Jews against the Midyanim, but why Davka barley? So Rashi over there brings from Chazal that the barley is representative of the Mincha Sa'omer. And it was actually the second day of Pesach, and the message which was conveyed to Gidon was that in the Schus of the Mincha Sa'omer, the Jews would be successful in destroying the camp of the Midyanim. The Ramban gives a different interpretation. He says that Seorim, that barley, is always representative of a whirlwind and a tempest, of destruction. And again, Seorim is Seara. It's the same idea which is coming out here with the Mincha Sota, you know, the tempest, the destruction associated with the word Seorim would destroy the Midianite camp. Furthermore, V'chein b'chli cheres, so too, the earthenware vessel, which is used as part of the ritual of the sota. The pasuk says in Yud-Zayin, "V'lokach ha-kohen maim kedoshim b'chli chares." The kohen should take some of the water that's holy water, the water from the kiyor, which was used to wash the feet and the hands of the kohanim, and he should place it into an earthenware vessel. And then, you should add in some of the earth from the floor of the Mishkan, right? And then again, we're going to see that he's going to dip the Megillah Sota into that water, and the writing on the Megillah Sota is going to dissolve into the water itself. Why does he use a klicheres? Why does he use an earthenware vessel? So Rashi, quoting from the Gemara in Sota, says that he hishkasos hanoef yayin meshubach bekosos meshubachim. This adulteress, no doubt, served fine wine to the man that she committed adultery with, and she no doubt brought out the finest goblets in which to serve the wine. Lefikach tishte mayim hamorim b'mekedo b'zuya shel cheres. Therefore, she should have to drink these bitter waters in a cheap earthenware vessel. They were very, very inexpensive, right? It's supposed to mirror the opposite of what she did. That's the Gemara in Sota, quoted by Rashi. The Ramban brings a different interpretation. V'chein b'chli cheres, simon shetishover k'kli yotzer. The earthenware pot is easily broken. This woman who sought to go against the Torah is going to be easily broken as well, shattered into many, many pieces, like the earthenware vessel. V'chein ha'afar, and that as well, says the Ramban, is the purpose of the dirt which is placed into the water. Ki afar hivi al afar tashuv, because it's important for this woman to remember and to realize that she started off from the earth, and she's going to be returned to earth. She's going to die because of the sin that she committed, if indeed she is guilty of that sin of adultery. So all of the symbolism of the ritual of the Sota, says the Ramban, is really representing the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath against this woman, and you know, that's why it's pushed off to Sefer Bamidbar and not included in Sefer Vayikra, even though there is a karbon that accompanies the Sota. Furthermore, says the Ramban, now jumping back to the Ramban in Pasuk Vav, another reason why the story of the Sota, the halacha of the Sota, is included over here at this point in Bamidbar, is ba'avur shiyiches es ha'am leveis avosa. The Torah has gone through the genealogy of Klal Yisrael. It's worked out who belongs to whom, exactly how many people are in each shevet. So nosan lohem dos v'din ledas hamamzerim she'enon b'nei ba'ale imosam. What is the whole story of the Sota all about? In a sense, it's about punishing the woman, as the Ramban has said before. But in a sense, it's also meant to make us aware of the what might otherwise be a potential mamzer and a blemish within the purity of the genealogy of Klal Yisrael. Let's say this woman had committed adultery, as the husband suspects, but there's really no way to prove it. And then she's pregnant, she has a baby. In the back of the husband's mind, he's always thinking, maybe even the front of the husband's mind, he's always thinking, is this my child? Or is this somebody else's child? So that runs counter to the whole emphasis on identifying exactly who's who within the Shvatim, within Klal Yisrael, delineating exactly the lineage of everybody involved. The Yichus, which is described in this particular detail in Parashas Bamidbar, the antidote to that, to make sure that Mamzerus, that such uncertainty is routed out from Klal Yisrael, is this very episode, this very Parsha of the Sota itself. Okay, I'm going to stop here for tonight. Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow, and the next 2 days we'll talk a little bit more about Pirkei Avos. Maybe we'll stick in some stuff that's relevant to Shavuos. At this time, we'll take a few moments to say Tehillim, and we'll then make a Mishaber for all the Cholim who need it. Say Kapitel Tzadiyal of Chapter 91. Yoshev b'seiser elyon v'tzel shaddai yislonon omar ladonai machsiyum tzudasi Elohai eftach bo, ki hu yatsi lecho mipach yokush, midever havos. Evroso yosech loch, visachas kinofov techse, sino visoche ro amito, lo siro mipach adlohi lo, meicheitz yof yomom, midever bofel yaloch, Miketev Yoshut Zorayim Yipal Mitzidecha Elef Urvava Miminecha Eilecha Lo Yigosh Rag Beinecha Sabir Vishilum Asrishoim Tire Ki Ato Adonai Machsi Elyon Samto Mionecha Lo sunai lecha ra v'nei gali kra b'yo lecha ki malacha v'yitza v'loch v'shmarcha v'chol d'rochecha al kapayim yisonecha pen tigolf po'ev en raglecha al shachal v'ofes en tidroch Tirmos kefir v'sanin Kivi choshag v'yafaleteyu Asag v'yu ki odashimi Yikro eini v'eneyu imon ochi v'tsoro Achaleteyu v'yachabideyu Orech yomi masbiyeyu V'yareyu v'ishu osi Kuf Lamed, 130. Shir Amalos Mimamakim Kirosicho Adonai Adonai Shema Vikoli Tienos Necho Kashuvos Likota Hanunai Imavonos Tishmaya Adonai Miyamon Kimecho Asilicho Leman Tivorei Kivisi Adonai Kivisa Navshi Vilidvara Hocholti Navshi Ladonai Mishomirim Laboker Shomirim Laboker Yachel Yisrael El Adonai Kim Adonai Acheser Vyarveimo Fidus Vehu Yiftas Yisrael Mikol Avonosov Mishberach Avosenu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov Moshe V'Yaron David Shlomo V'Yivarch V'Rav V'Yisacholim Avush shvili nedan alu stakav bavuram mischar zakarish baruch hu yimalei racham yimalei hem lachli yimalei raposam lachzikon lachiosam shlach lahem eirav huach lema menashomayim lechol evarim lechol gideyem b'sal shor cholei Yisrael refuas hanefesh refuas haguf hashtar ba'agolav izman kori v'nomar amen. Then I'm davening my best as Hashem about 9:10. I want to wish everybody a wonderful evening, and we'll speak to you tomorrow night.